Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Boys, put down your utensils. I want to talk to you about something real quick. If there's anything that you want to talk about, any kind of secrets, now's the time to put it on the table, okay? And if you tell me, we're not going to be mad.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I went to the petting zoo and I let the goat lick my honey.
Promise you wouldn't get mad, okay? They're being honest.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One time I put a firefly on my butt.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on the bus, right?
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
The Fan.
Let me tell you what I want to do.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two here on The Fan. We've got pizza in the building, and it's not anywhere.
Whoa. There's pizza here, but it's not here.
I was told the training room.
Who's hoarding the pizza?
It's not in the training room, the conference room.
I want the pizza.
I saw everybody. There was a big power broker meeting there in the conference room right behind us.
Yeah, but I saw Morgan had a piece, and I go, where'd you get that? She made it seem like there was a ton of it.
I didn't think there was much left.
She also said artichokes are universally loved.
No, they're not.
Wanted on all pizza.
No. I don't mind artichokes.
No, I'll kick
get
you out of my room if you bring something like that in.
Get them the hell off my pizza.
No pineapple, no raw tomatoes.
We don't have to get into like everything else, just the artichoke. It's great that we universally agree on that.
That must have been a very important person that specifically ordered that pizza because nobody in their right mind orders that for like a team meeting.
That's the person that goes, we need the healthy pizza, even though there's no such thing.
No.
So just go with the crap as fatty as you can make it.
Get all fat and sassy with us.
Yeah, she was like, why don't you make a poll question out? I'm like, I'm not making a poll. You're wrong.
Yeah.
Just get all fat and sassy.
Most people don't want artichoke on their pizza.
No, they do not.
This sort of small percentage that does.
Yeah. By the way, I thought of two more great examples here locally of better uniforms in the 90s, and I think all fans will agree with my premise on this. Oregon and Oregon State. As a Beaver fan, you would trade back to the Ken Simonton unis in a heartbeat.
Well, okay, hold on. What year?
You know you
would. Because in 98.
1998.
Yeah, no.
You wouldn't rather have those than the Nutria.
You know what? No.
What?
Yeah.
They wore the
Give
throwback
me the ones
helmet.
After 98.
What are they? Well, how did they change after 1998?
But there wasn't a logo on it. The Simonton one, it was right the next season after the 98 Civil War. They didn't have one, and the next year they had the logo on it.
I'm not buying it.
I'll take that beaver over the Nutria.
Here's a picture of him right here with the beaver on the side of the helmet.
Yeah, I know.
That's the uniform I'm talking about.
Okay, that's the year after 98.
Okay, fine. 1999.
Thank you.
Okay, there you go. Are you happy now? I'm pretty sure those are the same uniforms, but there you go.
Well, just Google 98 Civil War, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay, those are great. In Oregon's mid-90s unis, before they got too out of control in the late 90s, we're fantastic. You know I'm right on that.
Well, you're wrong because you cape up too much for the 90s. Like, you're trying to oversell this. Like, the Nuggets uniforms were god-awful.
The brown ones were bad.
Once they went baby blue, you're like, all right, well, at least they're breaking into something that's doable.
We did have the Nuggets uniforms, by the way, before that, the blue and yellow with the skyline were awesome.
I'm in on that, but that wasn't...
You have a controversial take on this, too, because you liked the Pistons' new uniforms that went turquoise with the horse head and the flames. You're a fan of those.
I wasn't upset by that one.
P1 Cody chimed in.
Hideous.
You didn't like the red one and the turquoise one?
No.
The white ones?
No, give me the old bad boys unis.
I'm okay with that, too. I get that. The Warrior one's interesting because in the 90s, the Warriors had two different ones. They had the Chris Mullin uniforms where it just said Warriors.
Just yellow and blue, plain yellow and blue.
But then they had the weird Warrior mascot guy Thunderbolt ones in the late to mid-90s.
Yeah, they lost it there. That went too far.
Thank you.
Another one that I'll grant you on, too, is probably the Cavs. The old blue and black Cavs unis.
Yeah.
That wasn't a very good
one. That about summed up the franchise,
that
those
did.
Uniforms.
That's who they are.
So it wasn't 100%
Not 100%.
Here.
I'm saying the majority of uniforms were better back then.
Right.
Okay.
Like the Red Sox in the 90s were better.
They haven't
The Yankees in the 90s were better.
Really liked the Yankees unis in the
90s. The Dodgers. The Giants.
Great unis back then.
Do you like, because I think all three of our teams, we're still holding on to basically the same unis.
Yeah, they'll throw a random like alternate one.
Yeah,
in there
do you like
now
the alternatives that they've given you?
I do.
I don't think the Dodgers have ever done an alternate. Really? Not during a regular season. Maybe something
blue.
For a spring training game, but no.
They haven't gotten a blue one?
I don't. Not for a regular season game. Hmm. They might do some stuff for spring training games. They might have different, I think they got different unis for batting practice. But no, I think it's whites or grays.
That's all they got.
I'm not a big fan of the, I don't hate it, but like I'm not a huge fan of the navy blue brave one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. I think it's fine as an alternative, but I'm white and gray.
I've long maintained the Braves have the best unis in baseball.
Thank you.
I'm a firm believer in that.
Thank you.
Also, fun fact, did you know? I don't know how many of the people even out there knew this, because why would you? Did you know that the Marlins changed their uniforms and logo again this year?
I think I had read something about that.
They changed it again. This is how many times now have the Marlins changed it? By the way, they also got rid of their statue in center field. That thing's gone.
That's also something I knew.
They're back to the old, they kind of went away from what they had for a couple years.
Is it just empty there now?
It's just empty. Yeah, I think they planted some grass or something. I don't know what they did.
It should be two naked people sitting on a beach. That should be their statue. Sum up Miami.
A little nude beach in center field. I get down with that.
Yeah. Well, that's funny. Ben Golver just did a tweet with his podcast, and the picture is Jordan and the Jazz in the finals, and it's those ugly Jazz unis with the mountains in the background.
But the Jazz unis, just prior to that, before they changed to those, were really good.
Yeah.
Just the old standard purple
basic,
ones.
Basic, yes.
Yeah, with the solid writing across the front. Those were good.
Yeah. Okay, let's dive into the Final Four. That starts this weekend. I will be watching somewhere in downtown Seattle. I don't really know where yet.
You gotta figure out where you're going.
But I'll be the weird guy at the bar all by himself drinking a beer going, come on, Auburn!
Yeah, but you need to pick one random team to root for and just scream at the top of your lungs to throw everybody off.
I'm rooting for offense. It's what I'm rooting for.
Root for both teams.
Let's start with this matchup. Michigan State and Texas Tech. Dirt will give you his 2 cents on who he wants in the championship.
Yeah.
But you've got Texas Tech, whose coach, Chris Beard, was just named the coach of the year in college basketball, versus Tom Izzo, who's been there 8 times. He's, of course, got the national championship. Let's start with Tom Izzo and his thoughts in the Final Four matchup.
You know, I've been really impressed with him. I love guys. I had a kid named Gary Harris a couple years ago who I thought was one of the best two-way players I've ever had. He could do it on the offensive end. He could do it on the defensive end. He could impact the game in both. I think Colbert does that, you know. I don't know if he's Scottie Pippen-ish like, you know, there's probably better guys early. I just at that era, I watched even more. And I think he's got versatility and he's a scorer that plays defense, and sometimes those are harder to come by, and that's, I think, what makes him so special.
And then Chris Beard of Texas Tech, just his thoughts on matching up against Tom Izzo in Michigan State.
We're looking forward to playing on this stage. In our opinion, Michigan State's one of the best teams in college basketball. They have great players and a Hall of Fame coach. We have nothing but respect for their program and the things they stand for. We're in our third year of building our program at Tech, and we're striving to be in the same conversation of the Michigan States of the world. So, you know, simply stated, we feel like we'll have to play our best game of the year to have some success on Saturday night, but I don't think that's much different than anybody else in this tournament.
I think Michigan State's winning that game. I think that experience that they have, Izzo being in that moment, and look, Chris Beard's a great coach, and we never really think about the coaching nerves. You know, we think about the player nerves. We don't think about the coaching nerves. What's it like as a coach? Are you nervous for the first 5 minutes of a game? Are you nervous and then it goes away? I'm just going to take the experience here. I'm probably going to be wrong because that would sum up the tournament for me. But I think Michigan State's going to win that game.
Yeah, it's, correct me if I'm wrong. Don't we have 3 of the 4 coaches coaching for the first time in the Final Four?
Yes, we do.
Pearl's never been there.
Nope.
Izzo's the only one.
And Bennett had only been to the Elite Eight.
Right. He was there as like a grad assistant way back in the day. But yeah, I mean, it's a legacy play for Izzo, too. I mean, this is his 8th Final Four, and you think back, the only championship that they've won was the title back in, what would that have been, 2001?
2000. 99-2000.
The old Mateen Cleaves and Mo Peterson team. So it's a big legacy play for him, a guy who's been there a lot, but kind of like Jim Boeheim in that regard. He only has the one title. I took Michigan State for no reason whatsoever to win the title when I filled out my bracket. Just what the hell, why not? But I am rooting against them this weekend. This is kind of a random Final Four, and having two teams like Texas Tech and Auburn, which I don't think the masses know hardly anything about and probably didn't watch much this year, I think it would be really funny if they finished off their crazy runs. Like Texas Tech never gets mentioned in these kind of conversations of winning national championships in college basketball. So I think it'd be fun to see them there. And the same thing goes for the other game. Like Auburn's never been in this situation before. And it was kind of like when Oregon and North Carolina were playing and Gonzaga and South Carolina were playing. I thought that'd be really cool to see an Oregon-Gonzaga national championship game. Didn't quite happen. I'm rooting for Texas Tech and Auburn this weekend.
Well, what I want to know, and we're going to get into Auburn and Virginia here in a minute, but what I need to know from listeners, and I want honesty. I want real honest answers here at the Better You Today text line. The Final Four is in, what is it? It's Sunday, right? No, it's Saturday. It's tomorrow.
It is tomorrow.
Yes.
Are we excited?
No.
I just feel like there's no buzz for this Final Four whatsoever. Are people excited? Yes or no? We'll dive into Virginia and Auburn as well in that matchup. We'll get to that next. More Final Four talk here on The Fan. Is this the best one? This is probably the best one, right?
I've always been partial to The Undertaker.
Really?
I have.
Cold Steve Austin
There's not much to either of the songs. They're both very, very simple.
But this is a buildup for greatness.
There is, yeah.
You know, it's like a...
But when The Undertaker, when they would shut the lights off and you'd hear the bell, don't worry, that one's coming. You hear the bell toll.
You were worried about your health. You're like, are they going to kill me right now?
Right. Also, these two guys rival each other, I think, for the best wrestling gifs. The Undertaker revived from the dead out of the tomb is a great one. And then just any Ric Flair losing his ass gif is great.
Ric Flair bloody screaming. Woo! Screaming. I use that on a pretty regular basis. WrestleMania this weekend. So, yes, we are using some wrestler music rejoiners here today on Dirt and Sprague on this beautiful Friday. We're talking Final Four.
By the way, the answer to your question is no one cares.
Is that really the case?
That's the vast majority of people at the Better You Today.
We have a Final Four this weekend, and I know you may not know these teams that well, but we're really not excited for the Final Four.
This is not a college basketball area, man. This isn't, unless there's no local rooting interest.
Yeah. I would argue there's more. I've been asked more about the women's Final Four, obviously, with the Ducks being in it, but there's...
But that's the only reason.
Yeah.
No offense to the women, but that's the only reason people care at all about the women's Final Four.
Who's the closest team to us geographically?
Texas Tech.
Yeah. But it's not like, okay, but you know chalk matters, though, right? And if you had Duke and Carolina.
I think Duke's the only one there.
Gonzaga
rubs fans in here.
I think Gonzaga would probably...
So if you subbed out Tech for Gonzaga, you think people care a lot more, little more?
I would say slightly more.
A noticeable amount. Not through the roof like if Duke's in with Zion. That's a whole nother level of chaos.
He's a once-in-a-generation kind of guy. You know what the highest-rated Final Four game in the last, like, 5-6 years?
The Elite Eight game with Duke last weekend?
No, Final Four.
I know. Or
the Oregon and UNC game because you had a West Coast team involved.
Yeah, I think I saw something that said only one other game rated higher in the last.
Yeah, it was in the last like decade. Yeah. I think you have this problem a lot of times with college football too, that you have two teams from the South who have met in the title game 4 straight years. Like, there's no geographical connection at all with any of these programs.
I guess my problem with that would be, even if you don't have a dog in the fight, which, let's be real honest here, we don't normally have a dog in the fight very often. UCLA hasn't won a title forever. Arizona hasn't won a title forever. Oregon has been good, but that Final Four might be a one-off for right now. Washington hasn't been there, USC.
Which highlights why there's not much interest in college basketball in this region.
Even in college football, we love college football here. And I don't quite follow, if we don't have a Pac-12 representative, I don't get the people that love college football or tell me they love college football all season and they watch every game suddenly go, I don't care. If you love college football, you care. Like, if I don't have a dog in the fight in the NBA conference finals, I'm watching. Same in the NFL. It's the end of the season. It's one of the bigger events in all of sports. I'm not even telling you Virginia's entertaining or Tech's entertaining, but to not care at all.
What's the topic of conversation around the office in regards to this Final Four? Hey, you got to watch that Michigan State game this weekend.
How many points will they score? Like, will it be 45 to 50?
That's the best you got.
Yeah, that, I mean,
that's why, like, college football is different. I get that. But I'm saying, like, if you had a Gonzaga in the Final Four, it's a topic of, hey, do you think the Zags can do it? Hey, they've knocked on the door. They've gotten closer. If you have, it's only been happened once in the last decade where a Pac-12 team's made it. But when Oregon was there, there was at least a conversation. Hey, Ducks are there for the first time. Can they get it done? It's the same thing that when you have a team in the college football playoff. I think when you have everybody from, you know, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Alabama, like we did this last year, there's some excitement for the game, but it's not a constant topic of conversation. People will still sit down and watch it. But like when Washington was there a couple years ago, that was like a month-long dialogue of can the Pac-12 do it? Can they beat Alabama? You have a rooting interest or a following interest, I think, locally. And there's no – I'm sorry, man. You can't really point to any fun, interesting storylines out of this.
It's Auburn.
Okay.
If I was to name one team, to me, it would be Auburn. I know Texas Tech is kind of this underdog just sneaking in this year for a lot of people. For those that maybe follow college hoops, I don't know if it's as big a surprise. But it's got to be Auburn. They're a 5 seed. And Bruce Pearl is he can be a polarizing figure. He's got energy. He screams a lot. He's all about the school, but he's also kind of a shady dude. And then Auburn plays as close to NBA basketball as anybody. They just chuck up a bunch of threes, and they hope that it rains for them. And when it does, they're really tough to beat, and they can put up 90 to 100 points. So I think if there was one, what are you getting excited for storyline?
Sure.
Coug fan might be Bennett, but he's not coaching your team. He left you.
That almost hurts you a little bit. But see, on your Auburn note, mm-hmm. in the last week, how many conversations have you had with people about Auburn?
None. My friends, I have had no conversations about the Final Four.
That's my point.
We talked Neither about the Elite Eight, though.
Sure, because Duke was in it and Gonzaga was in it and North Carolina was in it.
But you had good games, too. You had Virginia-Purdue really good game.
Yeah, I had. It was going all weekend on my group chat, group text. People chiming in about Duke losing or this game or Gonzaga going down. Talking with buddies this week, I haven't had one single comment about the Final Four.
That's because you got two defensive teams and Michigan State. It's not like they're lighting up the scoreboard either. I mean, your only hope. Your Obi-Wan Kenobi, yeah. Princess Leia only hope to me, and it probably won't happen, is Auburn.
Yeah, then somebody said more people need to learn how to gamble. That'll get you interested. There's no doubt in that. Yeah. But there's always a trepidation. I don't like gambling on stuff I don't know about.
I've turned my gambling money this week into the Megabucks.
Yeah, that's my gambling. We put $10 towards Megabuck tickets. That's what we did today.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know if I'm making a lot of big bets this weekend. It's got to be a few bucks. Not going to be $100 here.
Yeah, I think this is. I just think this is indicative of college basketball in this region, man. We've known this for years. We've been hosting a show here for 6 years, and rarely, if ever, is college basketball in the regular season a topic of conversation.
Well, this is a good point though that somebody brings up. My friends and I aren't talking Final Four because I already won the bracket.
Sure.
And how many other people are dealing with something similar? The brackets contests are done.
Yeah.
Because the brackets have been busted. You get Texas Tech, Gonzaga's out, Carolina's out, Auburn's in, yeah,
basically
Duke's out.
Anybody that still has, I mean, Michigan State was a team that was in play for a lot of, I mean, you got them in
there. Yeah, I picked Michigan State to win it all.
So anybody that still got Michigan State's probably, you know, keeping an eye on it. But I think if Auburn gets to the title game, there might be a little bit of buzz. Bruce Pearl obviously is.
You think there's bigger buzz than with Michigan State or with Virginia?
I think it's bigger buzz than Virginia.
I think it's the same.
You think so, huh?
Auburn? Yeah.
I think Auburn.
Because they're a 5 seed.
Might get a little buzz. Also, they lost maybe their best player to injury already.
Sure.
And their style of play. They're going to run up and down and gun three. So if they run up and down and outscore Virginia, if they put up 70 against Virginia, which hardly anybody does, and they're a little bit exciting, that might give a little sizzle to it. But outside of that, I think you're going to hear Monday night's title game numbers are going to be among the lowest in decades.
Well, it's going to be tough to beat that UConn Butler game. But on that point, you know, this might just speak to where we're at now with entertainment options, whether you're going out or you're watching Netflix or something else. I think it might speak to that. It's funny that in the mid-90s, we had a team and their slogan was 40 minutes of hell. They just press you all game, and it was Arkansas. And I bet you a lot of people in this region, even people listening to the show, they watched. It was interesting. 40 minutes of hell. Yeah, Nolan Richardson. Auburn doesn't get that. they just run up and down and chuck threes up. You know, there's something to what they do. And it reminds me of that Arkansas sure. team in the sense of that's who their identity is. It completely breaks away from most of college basketball.
It does.
But now we're like, I don't really care. Whereas like when it was 40 minutes of hell, it was like, hey, 40 minutes of hell. Can they get this done playing that kind of defense for 40 minutes every game?
Well, you sound like you're somebody who's trying to talk yourself into being interested in this Final Four.
Well, I am because I'm trying to break away from a birthday party. I don't necessarily want to be.
So you want a reason to break away from the
I want to be at a bar watching these basketball games. And yes, I also have Michigan State in the championship. But I don't know if I want to poo-poo something, even if I don't have that big a rooting interest in it. It is the Final Four. That still means something to me.
We've had multiple people chime in saying, I honestly forgot the Final Four was happening this weekend.
I think they're being sarcastic.
I don't think they are, man. I don't think they are. This hasn't even really been, like, I don't watch a ton of, like, national ESPN or national radio, that kind of stuff, but it feels like this hasn't even really been a topic of conversation nationally all week.
Well, no. I mean, we had ESPN on here before you switched to baseball, and they were talking about the Don McLean cut on James Harden.
The Don McLean cut, the LeBron stuff on Space Jam 2, him saying we're going to get guys, don't worry.
NFL.
The Warriors, the NFL storylines.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all been bigger than college basketball.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That sucks for the game.
I mean, the women's Final Four has got more because of the Auriemma quote, Gino Auriemma.
That's gotten more,
and Muffet McGraw quotes.
Yeah.
I mean.
Are you excited for the Final Four, Swigard?
Not as excited, but yes, I've cleared out. I haven't scheduled anything. I'm going to watch it.
Look, this is my point though.
I mean, we're going to watch.
That's what I'm saying is we're all going to watch whether the games are good or not. I can see why people aren't excited, but we're going to watch.
I mean, I'm going to be running around tomorrow, so I'll have it on. I'll be checking scores and stuff and what I'm at places.
You're not going to sit and just watch.
No, I'm not from start to finish, no.
Wow, you have no interest in it.
See, I'm going to clear out and I'm going to be squarely in front of a television starting at 2:55 and be ready for it.
The only fun thing I'll say about the Final Four is in the last 2 years, I've had the chance to go to a Masters and a Final Four, which are both awesome sporting events to be at.
I didn't even think about that until you just said it. I hate you more.
Like the Masters is like the coolest thing I've ever done.
Sure. It's an exclusive place to be.
The spectacle of a Final Four at a football stadium blows your mind. Like it's like walking in and getting the glimpse of this court in the middle of a giant football stadium, and you have, and they look like ants down there when you first walk in. It's like the strangest thing to soak in. So I'll say it's a really cool spectacle when you get a chance to see it in person. There's my positive take on the Final Four.
Yeah, and I know we get people that tell us that it's about the women's Final Four, but if Oregon's down 25 at half.
Yeah, the interest in the women's is because you have regional interest.
And if Oregon loses, you're not probably going to watch the second game unless you're actually.
You know what I'd be curious to look up, and I don't know how we could possibly do this, but if Oregon finds a way to win today against Baylor, what are they, a 10-point dog?
Yeah, they're
a pretty sizable underdog.
They have they're the biggest underdog to win the title.
So let's say they find a way to win this game today, because you can't compare the ratings from a Friday afternoon to a Saturday afternoon. When would the women's championship game be?
Sunday afternoon evening.
It would be fun to compare the local ratings to if Oregon's in the title game Sunday of how many people watch that game compared to Monday night in the men's championship.
Well,
because I think you would locally have more people watch the women's game.
Well, I think you would too, but that's for the obvious reason.
Sure, but that doesn't ever hardly ever happen.
That's true. All right, not a lot of buzz for the Final Four. That's not surprising. And
can we just drop the no one cares drop? Hopefully, we go good games, right? I mean, hopefully, we're proven wrong and it's exciting and they come down to the wire.
Well, what do you care? You're going to be out and about. You're not going to watch these damn games. All right, Dave Pasch is going to be on the call for Portland and Denver tonight on ESPN 7:30 tip. What's it like to partner with Bill Walton? And what's he think of this matchup in this Portland team without Nurkic and CJ? Dave Pasch joins us next.
Welcome back in, 1:31 on a Friday.
Pretty fitting for our next guest, isn't it?
It is, man. I'm excited. Dave Pasch, he does everything for ESPN. He's on the call of the Blazers and Nuggets game tonight. MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline is how he's joining us. Dave, we got to start with it because we're playing wrestling music all day for WrestleMania on Sunday. Do you know whose intro song that was?
No. Whose was it?
Oh. Was it Shawn Michaels, right?
Shawn Michaels, Michaels. Chin music, baby.
Yeah. No idea.
Okay.
The only wrestling that I know is when I was a kid. And, you know, like the first WrestleMania with Mr. T. I think he was in the first one. And you had Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, George the Animal Steel, the guy who used to eat the turnbuckle. That's like, those are the wrestlers I remember.
Dave, do you feel like if you say no to somebody asking if you know something, Bill Walton's going to just magically appear and talk to you for 20 minutes about why you should know it?
It's possible. There's no doubt. You never know when he's going to pop up. He did say the last time I saw him, you're not rid of me yet. And when he said yet, I didn't know what he meant. So we'll find out one of these days.
I do. I mean, we want to talk to you about Portland and Denver, obviously, because you're on the call tonight, 7:30 ESPN. You're working with Doris Burke and Chauncey Billups. I do want to start, though, because you guys did a great job throughout the Pac-12 tournament, which we watch, obviously, with Oregon winning here locally. But had you ever had a coworker or a color analyst leave to take a bathroom break before an overtime? Had that ever happened to you before?
No, that was a first. It was interesting because he got up. I don't know if he thought there was a longer break. And so he got up and he starts walking. And, you know, all the guys that are in the front row, the high rollers, you know, they turn around and they look at me like, what's going on? I'm like, I have no idea. And it's not like he moves well. So I knew, right. Okay, he went to the restroom. He's just going to take him a while to get back. And it's not just that, you know, he missed the start of the overtime. It's he almost ran over the official on the way back, because the official kind of had his head turned as he was coming down the sideline there. But it was perfect. As soon as Bill sat back down, Kenny Wooten slammed an alley-oop, and Bill did his, you know, typical, you know, throw it down, big man, one time. It just, the timing was perfect.
Yeah. When you're calling college hoops games, because you do such a good job calling both of them, and you work with people like Bill Walton, and then obviously you work with Doris Burke, who is just incredible. Do you ever go on Twitter and read what people are saying when you're working college games versus the NBA games?
Well, look at, you know, the when I get my mentions and stuff, people that are tweeting to me, yeah, I'll read those. I mean, obviously with Bill, it's different. I mean, it's like a cult following with Bill. I mean, he's got so many people that are interested in what he has to say. And so, yeah, there'll be a lot of people. And then you get people that like it and then people that don't. And I usually just kind of read them. I don't usually respond. Occasionally I will, but it's definitely different. You know, we're doing a normal traditional broadcast tonight. There won't be any shenanigans, I don't think. Obviously when we're doing our college basketball, you know, it's unique. It's something that you don't hear every night. We try, at least I hope we try, to be respectful of the players and the mm-hmm. coaches and the game. But we want to have fun too. And when you have somebody like Bill, that's one of the greatest players of all time and one of the most unique Hall of Famers in any sport, you want to take advantage of that. So when you do that, you're going to get a lot of different responses.
Yeah. We're talking with Dave Pasch, ESPN play-by-play man. He's going to be on the call for Portland and Denver tonight, joining us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Pasch. I do want to ask you on the college basketball note, we were just having a conversation before we had you on just about, there feels to be a real lack of interest in this area about the Final Four. And maybe it's because there's not a team from here. Maybe it's just because people don't like the product. It could just be a combination of all that stuff. But where is your kind of where does that fall on your radar this weekend? And how excited are you for the Final Four?
Well, it's really interesting because with Zion Williamson this year, the ratings have been very good for college basketball. The interest has been up for college basketball. And I felt like, okay, you know, maybe we're going to get some people back that we lost because I think with the one and done, the fans just don't have an opportunity to really get attracted and engaged with a player because they're there and they're gone. I mean, Bol Bol, we never really get to see him play. And, you know, he's going to be in the NBA. So I felt like we were getting some people back because even though Zion was going to be one and done, you were watching something special. It was kind of like UCLA a couple of years when Lonzo was there. It felt like something special that people could attach themselves to. UCLA went out pretty early, I think, in the tournament that year. And then Duke not being in the Final Four, it's like, oh, okay. I think people that were starting to come back to college basketball, mm-hmm. Now that Zion's not there, I think it's a big deal. I think there are people that won't watch now. And it's not just that Zion isn't there. It's that the teams that are there aren't teams that a lot of people, the casual college basketball fan certainly doesn't know much about Texas Tech or Auburn or Virginia. So it's, I won't say disappointing because I like it. I like seeing, first of all, you have great coaches that are in the tournament and you have great players. I love Virginia's system. So it's good basketball. It's just if I'm a casual fan, who do I attach myself to?
Right.
other than just watching a game that's going to decide a national champion.
Yeah, it almost feels like, Dave, people attach themselves to coaches if there's not a Zion-type player, and maybe people are doing that with the Final Four. You know, as a guy that's been around it, though, you've been around both for so long. Are you surprised, though, we're at a point where they don't mimic each other whatsoever? Because for a long time, the NBA and college, the NBA obviously better with talent, but similar styles in which they go out there and they'd play every night. And now we're in such a three-ball dominant league in the NBA. Auburn's really the only team you see in college basketball that goes out there and they're chucking up 30 to 40 threes a game. Are you surprised we're at that point, that the college has not tried to mimic the NBA in the way that they're playing?
Well, it's funny because in football now, the NFL is mimicking college, right?
You've
all of these offenses or coaches that have been running, you know, West Coast system for so long that are changing up how they do things. We might see Kyler Murray go number one overall. I mean, when you know, 5 years ago, if you'd have said, hey, Kyler Murray, a 5'10 quarterback from the Air Raid offense is going to be the top pick in the draft, and you went to Vegas with that, you'd probably be a rich man because nobody ever would have thought that. So it's I'm a little surprised. I just think there's just not – I mean, first of all, it's a 48-minute game. The game's different. You know, you have the shooting in the NBA is much better. I think that's probably the one and done, and the AAU stuff has hurt more than anything is shooting. There's just not a lot of great shooting in college basketball and also in the NBA. I mean, the best shooters in the NBA, there aren't many shooters who are the great three-point shooters that were one and done guys. You know, a lot of the great shooting in the NBA are, you know, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, guys that were in college for a while, even Seth Curry, right, for the Blazers. Mm-hmm. Damian, you know, look at, you know, I think I just have a hard time. Most people that are one and done are guys that are great athletes. They're going to work on their three-point shot when they get to the league. And I think that's one thing that's hurt. You just don't see great shooters anymore starting out as freshmen in college. Occasionally there will be, but, you know, name one from this year that was a freshman that was just a lights-out shooter that's going to be a star in the NBA next year.
Right. Yeah, really is the only weakness people point out with Zion. That's really the only weakness that he has is he's not a dynamic shooter, and people wonder how that translates to the NBA. We're talking with Dave Pasch. He's an everything play-by-play man for ESPN. He's on the call tonight for Portland and Denver. Let's get to that game. I mean, it's really a big weekend for both teams. Denver trying to hold on to the 2 seed after their tough loss to Golden State the other night. Portland, so much has changed around them here in the last couple of weeks, and they got Denver. They play each other back-to-back tonight and then again on Sunday back here in Portland. And what do you, I guess, most interested in watching in terms of how things play out tonight between Portland and Denver?
Yeah, I think two things. I think for Portland, it's the other Terry Stotts has just done a great job. The fact that they've won 8 of 9, 2 straight, and they're still in position to get, if not the 2 seed, get home court again in the first round, given that CJ McCollum's out and, you know, what happened with Nurkic. It's he's done a phenomenal job. So, can they keep it going, or at some point are the injuries going to catch up with them here at the end of the season? And then for Denver, you know, they lose to Golden State, but they beat San Antonio. They're over the last 7 games, they're 3-4. You know, their record is interesting. You talk about back-to-back, even though it's not technically a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. The Nuggets have the best record in the NBA on the second night of back-to-backs. Well, in the playoffs, there are no back-to-backs. So, you know, sometimes you're taking advantage of another team in those back-to-back situations, even on a second. You know, you're playing at home. There's an advantage there for Denver. So you lose that when you get to the playoffs. There are no back-to-backs. You know, one of Denver's strengths is its bench. Well, your bench is tighter. You know, your rotation changes a little bit in the playoffs. So I just don't know, you know, if Denver gets matched up with OKC or San Antonio, I just don't know that you know, I think they're a talented team, but it's going to be the first time in the playoffs for all these guys. For Jokic and Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, they haven't been there before. Millsap's really the only guy with a ton of playoff experience. So how will they handle that, you know, when they get there next weekend?
Yeah, and the Golden State game too, Dave, the other night, people thought, okay, big game, and they got blown out of the building against Golden State. You know, when you call Portland, Portland fans, obviously we're big diehards here, but you look at like the MVP conversations in Portland, some years we can find ways to overreact and feel like we're being counted out and not given enough respect. But when you break down MVP stuff, obviously Giannis and Harden have separated themselves from everybody else. But that third spot in the MVP vote, that matters to people out here. And I personally think Damian Lillard has played his way into that third spot in the MVP ballot. What's it like to cover and call a game with him and just kind of your views on the season he's been having?
Yeah. You know, I do vote on all that stuff. I'm not going to tell you where I voted, but I think Lillard's had a great year. I think he's an all-NBA player again this year. I think Paul George has had, even though maybe lately with the Thunder losing, I think maybe he's off of some people's radar, but I still think that, you know, he deserves a lot of credit for the year he's had. Steph Curry, Jokic. But Damian is, you know, I think when it comes to just all around good guys and being a great teammate and supportive of his coaching staff and no drama, I mean, Dame's as good as it gets. You know, I love doing Blazer games. And I think, you know, he's great for Portland. He's great in the community. He's a guy that loves being a dad. I mean, he's just a fun guy for so many reasons. And I think, you know, people, the fact that he was first team all NBA last year, people know who he is. I mean, he's become certainly people that cover the NBA. They know all about him. And I think he's getting more run, you know, nationally. I think there are more people with the All-Star stuff. You know, I know that I'm sure everybody in Portland, you're never going to be satisfied with, you know, until he wins an MVP with, mm-hmm. you know, where he fits in on the list and how many All-NBA votes and whether he gets in as a starter in the All-Star game. But I do think, you know, he's earned a very good reputation around the league.
Yeah. And we're talking with Dave Patchell. I'll get you on this one, Dave. And this might be asking, like, who's your favorite kid? But do you have a favorite city that you get to visit?
Boy, it's a tough one. I mean, I'm like, you know, there's so many different ones that I could lose track. I mean, I feel like I've been in Portland more than anywhere this year between Blazers and Oregon. I was just there for the women's regional last weekend. So, I mean, I feel like I'm there a lot. Yeah. Portland's a great city. It's, you know, it's kind of a fun place to be. And so I don't know, but I love Portland. It's definitely up there. And you know, I think the crowd has a big reason. It's a big reason why. It's a great place to do a game. The Moda Center, the fans are great. They love the NBA there. They understand the NBA. And that there's nothing better. There's nothing better when you're covering NBA and the people there know the NBA. They know the history of it. Portland certainly is one of the best.
We talk to media types all the time, and they always give different answers and stories about when they're here and where they go and what they do. What do you do when you're in Portland for a couple days?
What do I do in Portland when I'm there for a couple of days? Well, I mean, a lot of times we're working. It's not like we get all this, you know, all this free time. But, you know, usually we're staying downtown, and there's a lot of cool things to do around downtown. You know, have our restaurants that we like to go to. I don't want to say that, you know, on the air where we like to go. But you know, there's a lot of different places we like to go. And it's just a fun city, man. It's a cool place to be for, you know, a couple days. I did get a little bit more time there this past week when I was there for the women's region. We had the day off in between the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight and had a lot of fun. So I'm always happy when I get a Portland game.
Well, you can hear him on the call tonight, ESPN 7:30 with Doris Burke, Chauncey Billups. Dave Pasch is his name. Give him a follow on Twitter at Dave Pasch, calling Blazers and Nuggets tonight. He joined us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Thanks so much for the time, man. We really appreciate it. Have a good call and enjoy the game tonight.
All right, guys. Take care. Enjoy the playoffs.
There you go. Dave Pasch of ESPN. Likes coming to Portland.
He didn't really give me an answer, though.
He didn't want to tell you where he frequents.
Well, let me ask you.
When he's here with Bill Walton,
he doesn't want you showing up
next time. Let's stop for a second. Would people recognize Dave Pasch?
I don't know.
Compared to the, Kevin Harlan is recognizable, right?
I don't know.
He's been around a long time.
I don't know how many of those guys are recognizable.
So my point is, like, Marv Albert, recognizable.
I'm just saying. Recognize that rug.
Well, if Pasch is with Walton, then obviously.
But he's not. He's not with Walton. Is he being stopped on the streets? I'm like, you're Dave Pasch.
He could be.
Well, I like Dave Pasch. I respect him, but I'm just like, doesn't want to tell me what he does.
Maybe he's into weird stuff. You never know.
Are people going to bombard him at his hangout?
Maybe he's got weird places he likes to go. Who knows,
maybe
man?
He goes to the weed
private.
Stores and gets super high and walks around
Portland. With Bill Walton a lot, you know? I can't blame him. He's got to put up a bill.
I heard he got contact high one time when he gave Bill a hug.
That is a great broadcasting crew, though. Doris Burke does a great job. Dave Pasch is an awesome play-by-play man for everything that he does. And they're on ESPN tonight, so he's going to be calling Blazers and Nuggets. We'll get into that game a little bit more coming up in the final hour of the show.
See, somebody says, I can read between the lines. He goes to the A crop.
Yeah, that's what I kind of want. You know, maybe a little bit of that, a little bit of that. Hey, coming up, Ryan Wilson's going to join us top of the hour. He's a CBS draft analyst, NFL draft analyst. So we'll talk to him about how his mock drafts and boards, all that stuff's changing. But Oregon is in action tonight. Also, the Notre Dame head coach had a pretty strong message. We'll get to that. Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Was not at the Glorious House of Gains today.
That's bush league.
Doing a 5K tomorrow, though, and I'll be there Sunday.
Are you running the whole 5K?
No.
So can you really say you're...
No. It's 5K. Swigard did a mile. How did he do it? He walked it.
I walked. You walking 5K?
Walking 5K, baby.
Let's get you at their 12-minute pace, buddy.
No, it's not going to happen.
I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place here because what he's doing it for is an amazing, it's a cool cause.
TaborChallenge.com. Go check it out. That's come hang out tomorrow.
But he is going to go around and say, I did a 5K, and people are going to presume what was your time.
Yeah, I'm doing a 5K tomorrow.
To which you're going to say, 17-minute miles?
Didn't really time it, you know. It's kind of an unlimited time.
Please tell me you're not wearing flip-flops, though.
No, it's going to be nasty tomorrow. I won't. Yeah, I might even have to put pants on tomorrow.
Ooh.
Yeah, controversial, I know. But hey, 5Ks are 5Ks. Who cares if you run it or walk it?
You do you.
Okay.
You do you, boo.
Believe in that.
I'm not gonna say anything. You do you.
It's a judgment-free zone, okay? It's crunch time. Nothing like my Giants to rip my heart out the first week of the season. Sweet Jesus, they're going to be bad this year. Ryan Wilson going to join us top of the hour. Sprague in the Lions, get your fake sponsors in. Let's get to this. Oregon and Baylor, they play later this afternoon, so that should be fun. But there was some headlines made by a coach not named Geno in the Final Four, Muffet McGraw.
Yes.
The head coach of Notre Dame. She was asked a question at the media day yesterday, and I had a very... inspiring. Oh, yeah.
Well, I was just going to say this is centered around comments that have been made with the coaches about hiring men.
Yeah.
And interviewing men in women's basketball. And
it was like, do you focus on hiring more females? That kind of stuff.
Right.
Very inspiring message. Here she is.
Did you know that the Equal Rights Amendment was introduced in 1967 and it still hasn't passed? We need 38 states to agree that discrimination on the basis of sex is unconstitutional. We've had a record number of women running for office and winning, and still we have 23% of the House and 25% of the Senate. I'm getting tired of the novelty of the first female governor of this state, the first female African-American mayor of this city. When is it going to become the norm instead of the exception? How are these young women looking up and seeing someone that looks like them, preparing them for the future? We don't have enough female role models. We don't have enough visible women leaders. We don't have enough women in power. Girls are socialized to know when they come out, gender roles are already set. Men run the world. Men have the power. Men make the decisions. It's always the men that is the stronger one. And when these girls are coming out, who are they looking up to tell them that that's not the way it has to be? And where better to do that than in sports? All these millions of girls that play sports across the country, they could come out every day, and we're teaching them great things about life skills. But wouldn't it be great if we could teach them to watch how women lead? This is a path for you to take to get to the point where in this country, we have 50% of women in power. We have less than 5% of women are CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. So yes, when you look at men's basketball and 99% of the jobs go to men, why shouldn't 100 or 99% of the jobs in women's basketball go to women? Maybe it's because we only have 10% women athletic directors in Division I. People hire people who look like them, and that's the problem.
Amen to that. Very positive message. I'm on board with all of it.
Very good message. Yeah.
Very good for her to say that, and it's a great way to segue into the Final Four. So Oregon and Baylor play this afternoon. Oregon trying to get a trip to the national title. I obviously have not watched either of these teams play much, but just some of the numbers behind it. Baylor has won 27 straight games.
Yeah.
They just held the nation's top shooting team to 32% in the Elite Eight.
Yep.
And they lead the nation in field goal percentage, defense, block shots, rebound margin, and assists.
Yeah, look, nothing is impossible, but you're going to...
Did you just go Kevin Garnett on me?
I did.
Anything's possible!
You're going to need Ionescu to have the best game of her career tonight to have a chance. I'm rooting for the Lady Ducks to get the win and go to the title game. I think that's a cool story locally. But you are going up against the best team in college basketball and in women's basketball. And they not only beat Iowa and held them to that, they beat Iowa by 32 in an Elite Eight game. So,
and Iowa was a 2 seed in the region.
This is a really bad matchup for Oregon. You are the biggest underdog to win the championship, and there's a reason for that. I'm not holding out a ton of hope, but if Ionescu can put together her best game of her career, the Ducks will have a shot in it. But that's the only way, in my opinion.
They're going to have to make threes. They're going to have to shoot lights out as a team from three and then figure out how to rebound. Baylor is giant across the front line, and they got to figure out how to get rebounds, not give up second-chance points. But it's... You know, and then the other thing is they got to stay in the game. They can't have a spurt where Baylor goes on a 10, 12, 14-point run, because I think it'll be too much to overcome at that point.
Well, if you're looking for positives in terms of that shooting, Oregon does lead the country in long and three-point percentage, 41% on the years. Oregon and Baylor tonight. We'll see if Oregon can get a win. That'd be a really cool story here locally and get to the national championship game. Likely, my guess is against UConn. I would assume UConn's the favorite to win the other game.
Notre Dame's the defending national champion, and a one seed.
There you go.
So
much for that.
Don't bank on
that.
Don't
count out. What's the spread in that game?
I don't do a ton of research.
That was great. Boy, you teed that one up. You had no idea. You teed it up, and Swag just came and dunked it down.
Yeah. No idea.
I presume UConn's the favorite. Well, Notre Dame's the defending champion.
Wait, Giannis on your Embiid move.
Has UConn lost a game in the last, like, 25 years? I thought they'd won for three decades straight.
They actually lost.
Like, you watch women's college basketball.
You don't remember when Mississippi State beat them?
I do. That was, like, 3 years ago.
Oh, I did. Yeah. They didn't win it 3 years ago. They didn't win it last year.
There you go.
UConn was a 2 seed for the first time in... I don't know, over a decade, I think.
Okay,
so
there you go. We'll see who wins that one today. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, as low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Somebody said, way to go, Stephen A.
Women's Final Four is today. Hey, we'll get into Portland and Denver coming up in the final hour. Spring in the line. Get your fake sponsors rolling in. Better you today. Text line 55305. We'll start that with Ryan Wilson. He's an NFL draft analyst for CBS. Friend of the show. We've had him on a number of times. How has his mock draft changed in the last couple of weeks as we continue to inch towards it? That's where we start. Final hour next on The Fam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.